Time now for some more Weingarten wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Always very impressed when we can move from St. Etienne and like a motorway to Weingarten wonderment. Isn't that right, Arthur?
The one who's creating it, Mr. Merlin.
Oh, yes, well, if we could only get Excalibur, we'll be flying. That's the important thing. It's jammed in the stone, though, Arthur. That's the important thing. It's jammed in the stone. We'll get there. So one of your fine colleagues, of course, who you produced in the excellent Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury, she's been quite busy recently for a very sprightly 91 years young over on this side of the Atlantic as well.
Yes, she really is just extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. She's unstoppable.
And you know the task that was put to you, I think, back last year, Arthur, where it's your mission, should you decide to accept it, to actually feature, get Angela on this programme. I'm sure we'll be setting the things in place, really. Magic will happen. Anyway, let us move on, as you've obviously sort of dexterously sort of moved on to a different side, etc. We've got five fine folk in the studio, but we'll go to Chloe and indeed Kat first, because Chloe has been researching your good self online, Arthur, and I don't know what she's going to ask, so quite frankly, she's a graduate from American Studies at the University of Lincoln. She's now doing postgraduate work as a fine student in the art of public relations, where she's doing her MA in public relations, and most importantly, she's from Norwich. So this could go anyway. And I just don't know which way. So, Chloe, over to you.
I think I'm going to start biting my nails this moment.
Well, we're looking at all the TV series you've worked on. So I'm going to ask what your favourite one you've worked on has been.
Choosing between
the
children.
The favourite one that I worked on had to be Adam's Family.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Yes, not just because of what was on the air, but of the people. They were a unique set of people. As unique as they were on television, they were that way in person.
So are you saying that John Aston actually likes to sword fence with writers in his spare time, effectively?
I didn't get that, sorry.
Was John Aston somebody who actually liked to sword fence with actors in his role as Gomez?
Well, yeah, no. John was a true wit. He, if you went up against him with anything, he had 10 ways of not only overcoming you but making you feel diminished, which he then would rise you up again as quickly. But he was a force to be contended with. He really was, and he had as much to do with the series' success as any of the producers and writers.
And of course,
quite a fellow.
Let's not forget Carolyn Jones as Morticia.
Yes, she was absolutely terrific, a multi-talented person. She really was just excellent. But the wonderful thing is that they could go into that character and never once leave it, obviously, while on screen. But then after the director would yell, cut, that's a wrap, you know, we'll print that, they would continue the character often in their own characters. So you would get a play within a play. They'd take something that happened during the filming and they would work it around. I'm thinking once when a arc light blew out and you heard this explosion in the background. And John Aston said, someone's at the door. So, and you know, you have that kind of mind going for you, which I must tell you, on both sides of the Atlantic, is very rare.
Well, we try. That's the important thing. We do try, even though sometimes you have to put the light bulb in your mouth, a la Uncle Fester, to actually make it come alive in the first place. Stay with us, Arthur, because I think you deserve 85 seconds of the Addams Family. Are we ready for the theme tune?
Yes.
Is that a yes from yourself, Arthur?
Yes, sure.
Yay! Said we don't feature classic tunes in full. Phil Leonis has just sent in a message saying, wearing pyjamas, sipping coffee, listening to the Midweek Drive. Alex Levchuk's outstanding radio show for Zarin FM and Southside Broadcasting in the UK. Ooh. Listen along and hear me in the usual 10:30 a.m. Pacific slot. Actually, be 10:40 a.m.
Isn't that wonderful? You have a lot of friends out there, Alex.
Well,
he's just so popular.
Would they could have converted to attendees for the Telefantasy and Society Conference, but let's not go there. It's going to be a success. Wonderful things will happen on that basis. Adam's family, we just realised after we were talking about Cousin It, Emma Tinson,
yes.
you showing the influence of Arthur's writing. You cut your hair because of Cousin It.
Well, that wasn't the real reason, but it did have a part in it. No, I was actually, it started when I was in a yoga lesson and I was doing this sort of weird position where my head was hanging down and the yoga instructor called me Cousin It. And then my friends sort of caught on to it and it stuck for a while.
Did you used to wear a bowler hat as well?
No, I didn't. Oh, well, I didn't. Yeah. That would have been too much, I think.
Well, wear your hair proudly. But isn't it unbelievable, after all these years, I mean, how many things live through generational changes and are instantly recognizable? I mean, that an instructor in a yoga class in England would call out, "You look like Cousin It," and people would know to laugh at that.
Exactly.
It's extraordinary.
I think it's fantastic, and it's a show that was loved by so many people, and it has travelled through the time as well. It's timeless. You could watch it now, and it would still be... Well, not relatable, but it would still be enjoyable for young children watching
it
now.
Well, yes. Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but I mean, there are these things. The word iconic gets so used today that, a slice of pizza is iconic or awesome or something like that. But the truth of the matter is that when you last like Doctor Who and things like that, it's extraordinary in a world that is constantly trying to get your attention for the most ludicrous things or real, that these things would live on is extraordinary, truly.
People are saying the same about Phil Leonis's next movie, of course, The Lady Killers, which gets its free screening in Los Angeles shortly. But that's another routine. I put it down to the fact it's got the Arthur Weingarten touch. That's the key thing.
Of course. Makes it magical.
Pick a series. You can go Wonder Woman and Galt's Brain. You can go to the Wild Wild West. And there's magic that's there. I'm just waiting for when he actually writes his tale on the Midweek Drive, because I think that's going to be a classic.
That would be great.
I think so. It's scripted, produced by Arthur Weingarten.
Yeah, and you've got a cast already.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's not a bad idea. That's how Charles Dickens started out, and in episodes.
Mm. Exactly.
All of Great Expectations, 39 episodes in The Strand, and Conan Doyle and all that.
There we are.
Yeah,
that's
the way to do it. You do an audio autobiography. There we are.
The line could be there. Jessica, were you aware of the Addams Family in New Zealand, or did it not go over there?
We're not that outdated. I mean, we do have electricity and things. But
astounding, I know.
Yes, it travelled all the way to New Zealand.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And Kat, back in Cambridgeshire, the Addams Family, do you have any particular favourites?
Well, I think I like them all, to be honest. I think it's the whole persona of the whole mix.
Thing,
of
course.
Well, thing, yeah.
I mean, there are people who say that the movie, which had a thing that moved, i.e. the hand that moved, wasn't quite the same as the little box that came out and Thing was there.
Thank you,
Thing. In fact, in many ways.
Now, there was an immediacy, even though it was put on film, the weekly series put on film, the same as a motion picture. In a motion picture... there's a different criteria going. You're trying to capture in 90 minutes, usually, the essence of something and tell a story. Whereas in the weekly thing, you could focus on something. It obviously was an allegory of the American family. That's what Charles Adams was doing, the dark underside with humor of the American family. Well, in the feature film, Angelica Houston and this one and that one, they're not called upon to do that. They're called upon to have a singular plot that resolves itself at the end, whereas you have the luxury of a weekly series to examine one thing and one thing only, really. I remember they wanted to do a show about Uncle Fester wanting to join up in the army and things like that. he'd suddenly gotten patriotic. Well, that came about because of the things in current, no longer relevant, but in the news of a sudden rash of patriotism in the United States. And we on that show looked at it with a bit of a jaundiced eye, and we gave it to Uncle Fester to puncture the balloon.
And yet,
know, hard to do in a feature.
Yeah, so strange as it may seem, surely in a likely presidential campaign which has got the possibility of another Bush or another Clinton actually taking on the mantle of the commander-in-chief, what we really need is an Uncle Fester character to actually stand for politics.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I think possibly, Arthur, you know that we're referring to you secretly to do that. You know, it could be there.
Yes, thank you.
You've got to
I look in the mirror as I'm shaving and say, who dat?
Well, it's exactly. Nick, finally, any thoughts from your good self? I mean, were you an Adams Family fan?
Not really. My focus went to Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a big, important part of my...
Let's hope they don't ruin it with the upcoming motion picture. That's all I can say.
Oh, is it one doing
Well,
it?
They did. They did, you know, and it died a terrible death. Yes, yeah, died a terrible death. It's very hard to do. First of all, I think it's ridiculous to do. You know, if you have a success in one area, leave it alone, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Let it be, the word so overused, unique. Let it be unique. Yeah. Leave it alone.
Well, we can only see what Guy Ritchie is making of it with Henry Cavill and, indeed, the chap who was the Lone Ranger, whose name always escapes me, who's also coming in to be Ilya Kuryakin and Robert Vaughn. It's amazing. We'll find that out before the end of the show. Arthur, it's been fantastic. We know you got an appointment to actually go to later on this morning, as opposed to this evening.
Yes, I do. I have to get my left leg straightened out.
Hey, you know, it's like the okie cokie. You put your left leg in, you put your right leg out, you take it all around, you shake it all around. It's amazing.
Right, that's it. Put your left leg out, that's it.
Yeah,
can I take an extra 30 seconds?
Of course.
Pump something?
Yes.
Annette Andre, my wife, and your guest next week.
Absolutely.
With her letter from the other coast.
Mm-hmm.
Has it really... I just read it the other day. She finished the polish on it, and I read it the other day. And I think it's just absolutely wonderful. And I would like to call attention to your listeners to really tune in or listen to the podcast. It is really quite something. And I'll just give you one quick thing. It is a six-year relationship she had with a wild black bear, whom she named Wanda, and that's what it will be about next week.
What a teaser. A six-year relationship with a wild black bear called Wanda. Sorry, Emma, put your boyfriend story into the pale.
No, I kid you not. This is not a tease without a payoff. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful letter from the other coast.
Yeah.
And she was reluctant to do it and said to me, you know, I think maybe I shouldn't do it. Will it, you know, spoil the relationship?
Of course not. We've often said in broadcasting we need more bears on the radio.
They're great for audio. You know.
Good grief, the comedian's a bear. No, he's a not. He's a wearing a necktie. It's an Italian joke. Last two questions for Arthur Weingarten, please. Emma.
Of course, Arthur, have you enjoyed your time on the midweek drive today?
As I always do. All of you are just wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Sweetheart.
And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
I wait with bated breath.
Hey. Said in the 60s they only produced two or three minutes of pap songs. That's the Association and Windy doing their meteorological report as well. Ilana Rain, when we mentioned to Ed Wellman, he saw on the running order that Ilana Rain was on the show, his response quite simply, the lovely Ilana Rain. Quite literally, the lovely Ilana Rain. Even though she wasn't anticipating being called today as opposed to next week, we're delighted to say, Ilana Rain, you're back with us. How are you?
I'm great, Alex. Hi, what a wonderful surprise to hear your voice.
Exactly. Oh, those rehearsals. And you are sandwiched like a wonderful sort of joyous soul between Arthur Weingarten, of course, who we just spoke to, also from California, and indeed from the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Dutch pianist Daria van den Berken, who's joining us in about 10 or so minutes from now. I should be talking about her work with Handel and Mozart. Not literally, because she hasn't been in a time machine, at least not that we're aware of. But, you know, just thought from that. Charlotte Fortune, of course, will be coming up, as well as Richard Edwards and Phil Leonis. But look, if I go to the Alana Rain image there of co-workers and screenplay with Brian Smith, and the little, that's Alana Rain's little doggy there.
Aww, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, that's right. And but you missed the cross post on Twitter, where I basically extrapolate from a discussion we had about killing off one of my favorite characters. And, you know, these things, these characters, you can get attached to them. And when you're writing with someone and they're like, nah, they should die, and they should die this way, you know, you have to kind of cope with that. So we've been coming up with different coping mechanisms for my attachment to my, quote, fictional friends.
But the bottom line is, Alana, as students of the metaphysical arts will be well aware of, our reality is somebody else's fiction and vice versa.
Ain't that the truth, Alex?
That was so philosophical.
13 minutes to 6 o'clock, Emma. I thought I'd drop that bombshell in there.
Yeah, get it in there.
Yeah, we're simply the dreamers, or are we the dream?
Ooh. It's too
powerful.
Deep.
It's too deep.
Well, you know, it's back and forth. And sometimes our dreams, and you know, they can be so symbolically obvious. It's almost a joke. Like when you say dream of Nazis, or you dream of, you know, an earthquake, you know, these giant symbols, you're like, could this mean anything other than what it really just is on the surface, you know? So very interesting. It's morning for me. I'm still waking up. I'm slightly pre-caffeinated. Expecting the call, so
if you've got
a little slippage in and out here, sorry, reality.
It's always nice to actually have earthquakes and Nazis in the same dream, really. You know, who knows what could happen on that basis. But, you know, maybe we're opening up a whole new line. Jessica, thoughts on the sequence, or questions for Alana? Yeah.
Well, I just want to know what more about your characters that...
We want to know, Alana. Yeah. What screenplay are you working on, and what's it got to do with Alfred Hitchcock?
Wow, yeah, okay. It doesn't have much to do with anything to do with Alfred Hitchcock. But right now, so we're doing a revision of the first in my sci-fi trilogy. And, you know, writing is rewriting and revising, and it's just going back into a story that's very dear to my heart that I started back in Arizona when I lived there, the trilogy. And, you know, some people who've read the script, they're like, oh, this could be a 700-page, you know, epic. So, you know, it's no small task to go back into it after taking a couple of months the way we wrote the adaptation of the Ken Russell screenplay, and that's now with some producers. And, you know, it's just a lot of, it's different phases of different projects. And we finished a completely spec script, which means, you know, there was no, that it's just, we're going to put out into the world to see how it can get made without me directing it. So, you know, just building inventory for our screenplays, and just because we have so many ideas, we just want to keep writing, and it's very exciting to keep writing.
Of course, you were so polite to actually say it's Ken Russell, not to do with Alfred Hitchcock, but they were both directors, so forgive me for that particular moment. Nick, as a photographer, do you resonate with what Ilana's been talking about there, the kind of constant, you know, changing around? I mean, because presumably once you've got the photograph, once the image is there, that's it. Or do you use Photoshop?
Oh, dear. This is a family show. You can't swear on there. Dear, oh, dear. No, it's post-production is obviously a part of, you know, the photographic production these days, but no, to be honest, you get it right first time, and that's in the camera.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's my tradition, you know, from back taking photographs back with film in the darkroom, and, you know, it's true, it's like you get the shot, you you make the shot, and there's nothing wrong with little tweaks here and there, but, you know, too much manipulation, it doesn't make any sense. It becomes almost a different medium, in my opinion, when you start doing complete manipulation in post.
Jessica, wearing your photographic hat, and let's give a plug for your website. Go on, it is...
It's Jessica Ward Photography.
Jessica Ward Photography on Facebook. Have you liked it, Nick?
I haven't seen it.
I'll send an invite.
I've only learnt tonight.
I know. It's a bit of a shocker, but we'll be Jessica Ward Photography on Facebook.
Can I plug me as well?
Of course you can, Emma.
I don't have a Facebook page. I'm not that fancy, but I've got a Flickr account, which is ELT-photography, I think.
I'll add you. Flickr's so
and
good.
That's the kind of magic that makes waking up in California from a telephone call that you weren't expecting at this time of day, you know, just that a little bit more special, really. It's all right. It's 10 to 10, I believe. So it's 9:50 or 9:51 a.m. if you're listening in California. So all sorted through on that basis. But yes, bottom line, Jessica, does that resonate in terms of the image and the shape and getting the right sort of aspect?
Completely. I don't like using Photoshop. I have used it in the past just to kind of, I don't know, just play around with it, but I prefer natural looking shots. I will make a few tweaks here and there, just like with exposure and things, but I don't really like to manipulate it that much. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't really have a nice look to it, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, looking at this whole sort of thing, I see we actually
see,
have
that's
the
good.
Exactly.
Mine's not that good.
we appreciate that, Ilana, you might feel a little bit out of this because we're talking about photography on the radio, but that's okay. You join the listener, who's actually there. Nick, from what you can actually see there, what are your initial thoughts about some of the
nice
images?
Shots on there, actually. Yeah. I've just been
scooting competition, Jessica.
You're making me blush.
Quite quickly.
Very good. Ilana, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. And I'm going to actually ask Jessica, as one photographer to another, to put those last two questions to you. Aww. Jess, go.
Hi, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Unexpected as it was.
Yes.
I have.
It's very spontaneous.
Just like a shot of espresso, you know? Yeah. Intercontinental link up. Surprise.
We like to feel.
Next week, Alex, I have notes already for next week.
Notes ready when we've already got Annette Andre talking about her 6-year relationship with a bear. It's going to be unbelievably wonderful.
It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be splendid. And
the next question is, will we be hearing from you soon?
Most unusual
for
saying
no.
Exactly. But you never know. He says, you know, slavishly pursue that whole sequence. Very good. Coming up next, Daria van den Bergen. But first to Mozart. Mozart's fantastic sonata in E flat major there, delivered by a fantastic individual, Dutch-Russian pianist extraordinaire, who indeed had the classical music world listening when she launched her project Handel at the piano in 2012. We went from Handel to Mozart because we're delighted to welcome to the show, making her debut on the Midweek Drive, that ace, premier Dutch pianist extraordinaire, Daria van den Bergen. How are you, Daria?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here on the show.
There's something wonderful about having somebody from Europe in Los Angeles connecting with a show in Lincoln, England. It just makes perfect sense, really.
So it totally does.
It all flows in its own wonderful, unique way. You're dealing with two of the major players of the musical world. Let's step away from the classical music, from the music world. I mean, Handel and Mozart. Has it always been a passion with you to kind of follow their work through, or was it a case of, well, you know, I kind of underdarred about some other romantic pianists. I fancied some Scarlatti, but no, I thought I'd go down the line of Mozart, Wolfgang Amadeus, and, of course, George Friedrich.
Well, it started with Handel, and that was music, the keyboard suites that I didn't know until I encountered the sheet music somewhere, and I started to play, and I felt weird because I'm a pianist, and I indeed thought I knew my repertoire. So the Handel keyboard works were new to me, although I, of course, know Handel as the major opera composer and oratorio composer. So that was an absolute surprise. And so I made this whole project around it to get to know the pieces and to bring them as far as possible to as many people as possible. And then Mozart is a different story, but an organic flow from Handel, because they're both real singing opera composers, although they're 50 years apart and completely different already times. And you know, classic Baroque, there is, of course, a huge difference. On the other hand, there's this weird connection between them. Not weird, it's very organic. So for me, Mozart was something that I already always had known my whole life, but then suddenly I realized that I need to just spend time intensively with this composer for a couple of years, and I will do this the rest of my life. So already at Handel, the Handel CD ends with Mozart. I already knew what was going on with Mozart. So these two CDs belong to each other.
I have to agree. I mean, the great news is, of course, April 23rd, which, of course, is tomorrow, St. George's Day, if you're celebrating that, you're headlining the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra Baroque Conversations with a programme of rarely performed Handel keyboard suites. Because, I mean, most people, certainly this side, will know Handel's Water Music. They might know his music for the Royal Fireworks. And after that, they think, well, what other hits did he actually have? And you're kind of emerging into a whole new sort of area to kind of share the excitement of what he's done, presumably.
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly. Everybody knows him for Water Music, including me, and also for lots of other famous arias and orchestra works. The keyboard works were never sort of meant for the big stage, and we have them with us because there was at some point an illegal copy in Amsterdam, where I'm from, and Handel decided to publish it. And we meet Handel here at his most personal. That's my feeling. I mean, this music was for his students, for himself, and never really meant for the big stage, but I will play them now in concerts. I really think they deserve a bigger stage than no stage.
BBC Three, of course, British Broadcasting Company, actually hailed your good self for your skillful performance and proclaimed, "Her joy in Handel's ingenuity shines through." That must have been quite pleasing to actually know that you're getting that connection with the audience, that, you know, clearly, because sometimes, and no names obviously, Daria, that there are musicians you think, well, that's a very perfunctory performance, they're just doing the business, really. But, you know, clearly what I've heard, and certainly listening to both Handel and Mozart, we've put the spotlight on Mozart this evening, there is that kind of excitement that comes through, which yeah, as I say, they were the rock stars of their time.
They were, definitely. And I'm very honored the BBC said that about the CD. I'm very honored indeed. But yeah, they were absolute... Mozart, you know, wasn't extremely famous for a long time. Just for a couple of years, he was very, very, very successful. Handel actually was. He was very successful during his lifetime and an absolute rock star, I guess what we would call now a rock star. It's amazing music. I wish everybody will enjoy it just as much as I enjoyed in my practice room.
Let's open up the routine, because we've got an ace photographer here who actually photographs rock star musicians, Nick Elliott. Nick, from what you've been listening to with respect to Daria, any thoughts spring to mind?
Well, a lot of my musical background is very classical, mm-hmm. actually. For my younger years of growing up, my dad was a huge fan of a lot of stuff. And so it featured very much in my musical kind of history.
And it does interconnect together. Jessica, thoughts or questions from yourself?
I just want to know, it's a bit aside, is because I'm interested in travel. What is Amsterdam? What is Holland like? And why have you moved to New York?
She hasn't moved to. She's in Los Angeles at present on a two-week residence.
Sorry. Sorry, me being blonde again.
Yeah, no, sir. Wait, it's the question: what life is here like right now in Los Angeles or in Amsterdam?
I think it's Amsterdam. I think we're looking at Amsterdam primarily.
Yeah, we'll go.
I'm particularly interested because, of course, you are Russian and Dutch, so it's a combination of both wonderments there.
Yes, I have a Russian mother, but I was born in Holland. And I've been living in Amsterdam for years now. I mean, I can only say it's the coolest city. I mean, you do everything by bike. And I live in the middle of the center near the canals, where I can play the piano and neighbors don't mind. So it's actually heaven. I would say, come to Amsterdam and live there for a bit and see for yourself. It's fantastic.
I just have a little wry smile there, Dario, on the notion of actually taking a bike to the freeways of Los Angeles. Don't do it, for goodness sakes.
I had to stop myself.
I'm sure Phil Lewis might touch base with the whole thing, but you know that don't use a bike in Los Angeles, please. Use the hills.
No. I did see one though, but yeah, I will not.
I saw one once.
Yeah. Part of the reason you're over in Los Angeles at the present is really thanks to the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, of course, and in fact that obviously they've put this whole package together. I mean, it's Baroque Conversations, it's now in its ninth year, and of course it's made possible by a grant from the City of Los Angeles Department of Cultural Affairs, important that we mention that, and also Dutch Culture USA. Now clearly, you know, there's a lot of links between the Dutch and America from the point of view of New York, New Amsterdam, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Is that something which, in a sense, you're happy to develop and share the routine, or do you think it's also part of the global nature of music across the world in any case?
Well, it's both things. I mean, I think as a musician, it's you know, it's always very... Music is a global thing and everybody, but I am from Holland. I have this story with the music, and I guess to get it across also to people who usually don't listen to this music, I think it's important to also just take with me part of me, and which is that I'm from Amsterdam. And so I made a couple of movies where I play Handel in the streets of Amsterdam, just also to show the background where I am at that moment. And I'm very grateful that the Dutch also help in this case, and the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, they all teamed up and made this possible. So although music is a global language and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. I like taking with me my heritage, sort of, where I come from.
It makes
from.
Perfect sense. We've worked quite extensively with Lucy Parham, who's one of our own sort of favourite pianists, who's been over in Los Angeles and done stuff over there as well. Why the piano? Why the piano as opposed to other instruments? I mean, we were sharing in the studio. Emma, you were thinking about the...
I once played the saxophone when I was little, I think probably because of Lisa Simpson. Currently play the guitar, and I have a ukulele that I can play the odd chord on. Could do a little bit, but
interesting. Chloe, you were more of a clarinet person, is that right?
I started on clarinet, and then I thought guitar was cooler, so I went to guitar.
Clarinet to guitar. Jessica?
I've played a range of instruments. I started with piano. I loved it. I just didn't like getting taught. I was a bit of a rebel child, I suppose, back then. But I've also played cornet and trumpet and clarinet. I'm just learning how to play guitar as well. So
a range of things. Nobody's going for the harpsichord, which is a personal favourite of mine. But so
I have a harmonica, but you know, I can't really do much with it.
But Daria, from your own perspective, what brought you to the piano as opposed to other instruments that were available?
I love this question. First of all, I have an older sister who started to play the cello when she was 8. I was 5 by that time. And we were both going to a primary school where we would sing 1.5 hours a day. I think singing is the best way to start any music education. But the piano, I think my mom just bought the piano, put it in the house. And when on my 6th birthday, I had my first lesson. And why the piano? I'm just addicted to the sound. I wondered also often why did I choose the piano, or why did I keep playing the piano? But I'm just addicted to the sound and to my fingers sort of touching the keyboard and making actually several sounds at one time. So in one time, I think that's of course one of the things that the piano can do more easily than any other instrument, a string instrument or a brass or wind instrument. So, that combination, I would just listen to records also, and just the moment the key hits the string, and you just sort of, or the hammer actually hits the string, I'm sold. I just love the sound, and I'll keep playing it. It's just an addiction.
And this is clearly why America's finest chamber orchestra, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, of course, are, I think, very fortunate to have you on board, Daria. So I should say that now.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
You're listening to this, obviously, live in Los Angeles or wherever. You can go to the usual three W's, laco.org. That's laco.org. And then you can find the details of the International Artist Residency from that point of view. I'd also put in a plug, shameless speak, because you're too polite to probably mention it yourself. Your most recent album, obviously on Mozart, was released earlier this year and is, of course, available on the Sony label, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, both on the Sony label. Sony Classical, yes.
I think it's been an absolute joy sort of just working through a whole range of things, and I think we'll probably leave with Menuetto, if that's okay, Daria. I think we're keeping with Mozart as opposed to Handel, because, you know, if that's okay, we'll go with Mozart. But I'll throw those last two questions at you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive today, Daria van den Berken?
Thank you.
Has it been okay for you?
Okay, now I'm Dutch, sorry.
Hey, listen, it's substantially better than my Dutch. Have you enjoyed the phone link? Has it been good for you?
I totally enjoyed this, yeah.
Good.
This was great.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again soon? Will you return?
I hope so too. Thank you very much.
A round of applause for Daria.
I will return.
It's the combination.
It's jet lag probably as well.
And it's early in the morning. It's a whole range of things really, but it's fantastic. Yeah. And it's been a general pleasure. Take care. Speak soon.
Thank you. Take care as well. Thank you for having me. Bye.